Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
And good morning, everybody. We are live.
Ready, Bob?
There we go. Good morning, everybody around the world. We're coming to you live right here from inside the broadcast studios of Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. I'm Tom. We all know the master Bubba. Good morning, Bub. How are we doing today?
Doing really good so far, man.
Right on, man.
Not really.
No? What's going on?
No, man. I got to have time to get in here and get ready. You hand me the phone literally 3 minutes before we go live for a 20-minute combo.
That's great. I'm always doing something wrong, aren't I, bud?
I mean, bro,
come on. Morning to Kenrick over there. Good morning, Kenrick. How are we doing today?
Doing really good. How are you guys?
Who do we have in the studio with us today, Kenrick?
We have my good friend, Andy.
Absolutely. Andy, tell us a little bit about yourself, what we're going to be doing here with Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. Welcome, man.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm helping Kenrick produce the show and helping them with the graphics and trying to just make it look really good for you guys.
Right on, man. So we're going to take the show to a whole new level, right?
Yeah.
Right on, man.
Absolutely.
Well, welcome to the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports family, man. Good morning, everybody around the world, to Doing It Bubba Style, the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports podcast. Good morning to the beautiful Robin and Layla out there. This episode is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Visit us online for 20,000 new parts. And by the way, Bub, Code 504 is going to be in the house with all of their new products as well. Spoke with Mackenzie, Chris, the whole crew over there yesterday while you were out with the world famous chopper builder Billy Lane, enjoying some time with him, man. Some very, very much needed time with him, having some lunch. And how's Billy looking, man?
Looking really good, man. It's, you know, we had a great time yesterday. We actually hooked up on, Singer Island. So we had a really good time down there.
Yeah, man. Tell us about it.
You know, just hanging out, man. You know, it's not often that we get to catch up. You know, we were talking about that yesterday because it's, you know, we're just so busy with, you know, it's almost a shame because we were both discussing, you know, in very similar industries, we're, you know, so busy with the same exact, you know, things. Is, you know, you almost become a slave to your work, to your passion, to what you're doing, to your clients. Mm-hmm. And, you know, same thing, man. There's just so many different so many similarities there that it's crazy, man. When you really talk about, you know, just the struggles that you go through between the businesses, between the personal life, between, you know, balancing that time. Plus, you never have clients that are satisfied, even for somebody like himself.
Does he deal with that a lot too?
Oh, dude, you have no idea. And it's a shame because, you know, when you're working in this style industry, especially with what he does, what we do, it's true art, man. It's an art. It's a passion. It's something that is, it's a lost art. You're not going to go to, you know, every corner and find what we do. And it's very slim that you do find, you know, creativity and style and, you know, themes and stuff that is, you know, unique. Just finding stuff like that is super hard to do.
It really is, man. Good morning to Billy out there, his beautiful wife. They're going to be listening out there. I'm glad you had a good time with them, Billy, with Billy yesterday. Bob, you two are some of the most creative minds in the world today. Next to Paul Sr. and Orange County Choppers, good morning to all the guys up there at OCC, Bob. We're with them next Saturday for the big unveil. 7 days, Bob. Two big things happening next week. Mm-hmm. The new show launches here for Bubba's Exotic Motorsports, and we'll be with the Tuttles. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, man. So, you know, super excited for that. That's actually for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, a bike that's going to be unveiled. It is, a beautiful bike the way it was designed and built, man. It's, you know, just typical, you know, seniors OCC style fashion. You know, just the designs of it, the themes of it. And, you know, again, it's, you know, some of our best friends out there are, you know, all friends in the industry. You know, it's, you know, just everybody's hanging with each other. No one's out bashing each other and everybody's got their own, you know, build styles and themes. You've got Billy Lane, who's, you know, chopper builder, Chopper Inc. You've got, you know, Paul Sr., Paul Jr., you know, PJD Designs. You've got, you know, OCC. I mean, there's so many different, you know, designs and build styles out there. And, you know, it's just everybody has to respect everybody's work. It's all creativity and it's all, you know, it's all personal design and touch from there. And this is one of those examples of it. This bike that's going to be shown off in Orlando next weekend on the 14th. That is going to be an amazing event, man. I think we've got it up somewhere here. Yeah, the Exotic Car Festival Celebration. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Bubba's Exotic Motorsports Tour Bus leaves directly after this show, ladies and gentlemen, from here at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. Miss Outlaw Boutique, the Moose is Loose down in Abacoa, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of great stuff. Rob and Layla, they'll be there till 4 o'clock today, 561-660-6695. Celebration Exotic Car Festival is where we'll be. There you go. Thank you. It's where we'll be there next Saturday, Bob. Whole slew of events backstage, REO Speedwagon, with Kevin Cronin still fronting the band.
Bob. All right, so funny story about that picture, right? I'm just going to throw it out there.
This
so,
one here?
So I that did? Photo, right, of the that's the DeLorean from Back to the Future, right? That was
a cool story.
That was with Michael J. Fox. We had a lot of fun with that, man. That that photo shoot that we did that night, that was probably back in 2000. Let me see here. I was maybe 21. It was like one of my first major photo shoots. Our photographer, Doug Saunders, shoots all of the celebrities. Amazing guy, dude. Really, really chill. I mean, Three Doors Down, 50 Cent. I mean, huge rappers, artists, like does them all. And he shot us for this photo shoot. So when he shoots this shoot, so earlier in the day, right, like I knew that I had a photo shoot. I was like, go figure. I'm going to the gym. Go freaking figure. So I'm at the gym, and
that turnout was huge for this.
Really
event,
funny, though. Dude. And Layla and I talked about this the other night. It's just a weird topic that it came up. And I've actually tried to keep it hidden since then. But so we're at the gym. Me and one of my buddies, we're at the gym. We're working out. This girl walks in, right? This is before Layla. So let's just put that
That's
out
correct.
There.
Yes. I remember this story.
So
yeah.
She walks in, and of course, like, okay, cool. You know, here we go, right? Like, I'm feeling good. I'm in the gym. I'm pumped up. I'm like, all right, you know, this girl's pretty freaking good looking. I'm going in, right?
She's no, so, Layla.
No, no chance. So, and that's why I haven't let that one go. So, you know, I'm in the gym. I'm working out. I see her walking over. Well, me and my buddy are there. And she walks up.
One of the sheriff's department's guys,
yeah,
right?
She walks up and she says hi to him. And I'm like, oh, this freaking guy, like, there's no chance. This guy's like half the size of me, right? So it just happens to be that they went to school together, right? So they strike up a conversation. He asked her, like, oh, well, what are you doing here? Like, why are you in town? Because she naturally wasn't from that area. And she was like, well, I'm doing a photo shoot tonight with some really cool celebrity car. And it was funny
true
because
story,
this
true,
true
story.
Like, I've never met the girl, never even heard of her. So he was like, oh, well, that's cool. You know, that's what he does. And he like points to me. We're all standing right there, kind of like in a triangle talking. And she was like, oh yeah, that's where I'm going. I'm going to your place tonight to do a photo shoot with the car you did. So I was like, all right,
zoom
cool,
in
man.
On that car, Bub. Zoom in on it so the world can see it.
So from there, I'm just like, all right, you know, whatever, you know, we keep talking, we keep hanging out, and you know, we just move on down the line a little bit. So now we had met in the gym. It's, you know, 2 p.m, whatever. So I leave there. You know, of course I go home, I'm getting ready. The photo shoot, this is at like nighttime, you know, 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night. And, you know, the photo shoot starts taking place. Well, of course, here comes that girl, right? So during photo shoots, you have a lot of setup time. You have like getting lighting done. You have positioning the car. In this one, that's real fire. It wasn't Photoshop. So we had to have like fire scene set up.
Yeah.
You know, so there's, I mean, people out there approving it, the fire department approving it. Well, here's me in the background with this chick, right? Talking for like 30, 40 minutes. So an hour and a half later after the shoot, me and her go out all night. And
you had your limo then too.
Yeah, it was actually pretty good. So, the rest is it.
Crazy
we'll
story.
Just flatline there.
That's exactly right.
You're not going to continue from there.
No, we're going to flatline at that point.
And here's the funny part about that. The way they set that shoot up, it was, that's actually cat litter that they used, diesel fuel, to shoot that. And when we set that shot up, it was designed to look like it had just come out of the movie when he was getting ready to take off or land as he moved from place to place. And that's physically where that picture came from. Ironic that we'd now see it 10 years later, right? How small a world it is, ladies and gentlemen. Ironic. And I remember Bubs touching his hands, putting his hands on that. We had that parking lot filled up that was taken right there at the Bubba's East Coast Rods and Customs facility in Northern Virginia. It was very successful up there for 12 years before we left it to a manager to drive into the ground on us. Sad story. But anyways, that parking lot is now gone. That whole area is now gone. I know exactly where that picture was taken. I remember the it was all roped off while there were just tons and tons. The parking lot was just filled with people. And then, of course, they were photoshopped out of the background. The smoke was kind of set in there. Or did they use that? Did they do that using a smoke machine, Bob? I don't remember.
No, the smoke was that was set in. The smoke was edited in. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a really good time.
We got really cool shots from that though. There was a bunch of really cool shots. Like we were all dressed up in like the old, like the 80s style and Back to the Future outfits and stuff like that. So it looked really, really cool the way the setup was done.
Yeah. First and foremost, good morning to my beautiful bride, Robin. She's on the, watching us right now. Good morning, hon.
I knew Robin was listening. Okay. Robin, for the record, that only lasted one night.
God dang it, man.
But the limousine, hon. Well, you and I have our own stories of that limousine and we'll just smile at that, babe.
Yeah. Morning to Mark Hoffman.
That's real nice.
You don't know that story.
No, I do know the story because every time you get your drinking muscles on, you get out there and you tell everyone the story like you.
I don't drink.
It. Yeah.
Morning, everybody. From Mark Hoffman, the BEM dirt track driver. Bub, he was up. He says, Tom, Bub, we from Team BEM number 12 took the win for the 50 lapper last night, starting from 14th spot. Mark Hoffman, guys, is the BEM dirt track driver up in the Northeast, and he is an animal. He took 7th place last week, 1st place in the points finish last year, coming out of the back of the season. He started 14th spot last night in the Monte Carlo.
That's pretty good.
He's killing it, man.
Yeah.
I love Mark. He's a great guy, man.
I'm curious, too. Hey, Mark, so send us a message in, right? Because that Monte Carlo was naturally probably would have been a small block. Probably would have been a 305 unless it was an SS, maybe 350. But that would have been a 204R trans, which is a 4-speed automatic. I'm curious, did you switch that to a 3-speed, like a turbo 350 or 400, to run around the circle track? Or what setup is in it right now?
We need to talk to him about some of the things.
Curious about that.
Yeah, we're so many different things, man. Morning to Angie Von Meter. Williams, she's watching. We appreciate you being with us, Angie. And Lewin Hayden, my good friend, man, from out there, Team BEM, good friend out there from Ozark, Missouri. He says, good morning. Yo, fellas, I'm traveling today. Hello from beautiful but very cold Bunker Hill, Kansas. 15 degrees. Holy Christ, guys.
It's April, man.
Right? Dude, literally, Kenrick, what is it, 90 here right now? 85?
Oh, it's a high of 87
it's
today.
It's hot. I mean, holy people can see God. I'm tank top right now. Tank top and shorts right now. This guy's got on sandals over here. Probably not going to help him with his driving foot. The other day, so we go, listen, dude, stop.
And good morning to Brian Packett, the law offices of Brian Packett, man. You talk about a really good dude, man. You guys got to check this guy out. Brian Packett's here in the South Florida area. He's a criminal attorney, right? And this guy's
killer,
a friggin'
animal in the industry.
Right off the streets of New York, man.
Shark.
He looks like a shark. That's it. That's exactly right, man. And he looks like Harry Connick Jr., man. He's got that hair that he pulls back, man. Real suave, good-looking dude. Really, really cool under pressure. You know, somebody puts a firearm to his temple, he ain't going to flinch, right? He's at New York, and he's done that. That's the people, the clientele he's defended. You know, mobsters, rap stars, you know, all of that stuff, right? Really good dude. You got to check him out. Brian Packett, man. He's just a really, really, really good dude, man. The law offices of Brian Packett right here in sunny South Florida, ladies and gentlemen. And he's going to be out there enjoying us and having a great time with us, man.
Good All right. Dude. So can I continue with my story again? So Lewin, this is for you if you're still listening, because I know everybody's out there probably wondering what has he wrecked lately? So I don't know if there's been much that he's wrecked, but I will put it this way. It kind of counts. It definitely counts for sure. So we are maybe Wednesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon, trying to get to the gym. Yeah. Maybe this is Thursday afternoon, trying to get to the gym. And he decides he was going to install some brakes on a car, right? Just quick brake pads, right?
Right on.
Real
right?
simple.
Yeah.
Probably a retard could do it. You know,
oh God, that's a funny story too.
One bolt, maybe two max.
Yeah.
He does this install totally fails. Somehow don't know, you know, hey, get these clowns off the page over there. You see these people popping up on there, delete them.
Do you know how to do that?
Yeah, here, just click on them. So I'll tell you what, man, when you're out there, you're dealing with these freaking idiots. Look at this crap.
Yeah.
Give me a second here. So we're doing all of this. We're doing this brake install and, I don't know. I can't get it. You got to hold it down.
Okay.
We're doing this brake install. We pull up out front of my house and I see like smoke pouring behind me. Right. And it's him in a separate car, just smoke's pouring off of this car. And I'm like, Jesus, dude, like what could you have possibly done wrong on a simple brake pad install? So we pull up to the house, the car is like barely moving in the driveway. And he's like, dude, I don't know what's happening. Like the brakes aren't moving. The car's not moving. Like, I don't know what went wrong.
That was too funny, bro.
So I'm like, let me open the door. Like I open the door, I look underneath the dash because he's freaking out thinking that something went wrong mechanically. Maybe he installed something wrong. Well, believe it or not, he actually installed them perfect, right? But as he got in to pump up the brake pedal, this panel underneath the dash fell down naturally because it was just broken and old.
Yeah,
it fell down
that,
and it was holding down on the brake pedal. So almost like somebody was driving with their foot pressing on the arm of the brake pedal. And so he actually did pretty decent on the brake pad install, but the actual finalist, you know, the final assembly, the final step, it just shows, you know, when you deal with cars, that's the crap you deal with. You've got a brake pad that happens at the wheel. That's where the install was done. But then you get inside the car, it's so busted inside that it caused a problem at the brakes that you wouldn't even think of.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Mark says the car event at Daytona that you were talking about, that is the Celebrate Exotic Car Festival up there in Daytona. And Mark, you should come down and join us, man. It's going to be a great time, man. Really, really good time. You'll enjoy that. It's going to be fun. We'd appreciate you coming down, spending some time with us. If you are, Mark, I need to know that you are so I can get you on the VIP list with us to enjoy that event. So that'll be a lot of fun. So, you know, Brian's a good guy, man. You guys got to check this cat out. He's a really good guy, man. Really good dude. And we're going to jump into a segment here. We're going to start talking. A lot of people have been asking us about the big block versus the small block. Which is better? Which is worse? You know, which develops most horsepower? Which develops most torque? And we've had a lot of people ask us about that question. And so we wanted to take this episode and kind of address a little bit about that and talk about it, Bub, you know, big block versus small block.
So, you know, that's a tricky one because there's a lot of guys out there that just right away default to big block with big block and especially old school style technology, man. It's weight. You are using a lot of weight and, you know, cast iron, things get really heavy. So there's a lot of people that like that. There's a lot of people that don't want that at all. You know, in today's world, you can build a lot out of a small block, a lot of freaking power with the power adders available, with the technology that's available. You can build a lot of stuff just out of a very, very, very small block motor and create some serious, serious horsepower numbers. So it's really all about what you're building. You know, what's your personal style? What are you trying to build? What are you trying to do? On and on.
On and on. And Bub, you know, there's a lot of things you can do in terms of adding of power adders to the big blocks, power adders to the small blocks. You know, is there one over the other that does work better or doesn't work better in terms of power adders or, you know, nitrous or anything? You don't even do nitrous anymore though, do you?
Not really. No, nitrous has never really been it's never really been a personal fan of mine. I've never gone for it. You know, it's, back in the day, the early 2000s before power adders got so reliable and so strong, I was always using the nitrous applications, but it's a lot to deal with. You get, you know, 10 pound tanks, you fill them up, you've got to have them at certain temperatures. You've got to have bottle warmers, you've got to have all this stuff going on, and you've got to know when to spray it, how long to spray it, and you're risking your motor, you know, depending on if it's built right or not.
Yeah, it really is. Bub, do you want to go run the office and handle that?
No, it's okay.
You can. So, all right, Bub. So anyways, when we talk about when you're trying to build a motor that has a power adder, you know, whether it's a big block or a small block, are there any certain parameters you're looking for, or is there anything in specific that you're trying to get done?
No, man, it's all about your build style. You know, it's, to me, it's always, what is it you're trying to build? You know, I tell people that all the time and, you know, that's kind of the go-to. It's, you have to know at the start of your project, what kind of project you're trying to build. Are you trying to build that something that's a street car? Are you trying to build something that is a race car? Are you trying to build something that's a little bit of both? Maybe a circle track car, maybe a road course car, maybe just a straight up cruiser. All of those take into account when you're trying to build any ride. And that's like the biggest thing in this industry is, you know, not knowing what kind of end goal you're trying to achieve. And that's where a lot of people fail when they build these cars, man. They don't know what they want and they end up either putting two times the amount of money into it trying to get to that end goal, you know, buying this setup, but then this setup doesn't match this setup. You know, some people do this style motor, this style transmission, this style suspension, and none of it matches. And you end up dumping more money that way than knowing from the start what your end goal is, and then you just push to get to that line.
We hear a lot of people talk about things like forging the rear end, the bottom end, or doing this or doing that. What exactly are they referring to there?
It's all power, you know. It's all about what you're trying to do internally with that motor. If you're looking for a cruiser, there's probably no chance, no reason you'll ever need to do forging, any sort of billet aluminum, any sort of titanium. All expensive upgrades, all worth it if you're looking for that kind of build style. But totally unnecessary if you're just doing a budget build or like a street cruiser, something that you just drive around and enjoy. Mm-hmm. It's all about that build.
And does the small block or the big block produce better horsepower for you or more better horsepower? Which of the two would you say builds better horsepower?
Small or big, better horsepower. That's a tough question, man. It's, you know, me personally, big block power is just raw power. You know, it's the way it comes on is strong. The torque that it produces is ignorant. And, you know, typically big block power, you can, easily lay down naturally aspirated motors built properly, 600, 650, 700 horsepower, pretty reliably, pretty strong with all natural aspiration. And that kind of power is violent when it comes on, you know, when you're not working with power adders or anything, it's super, super violent. So you're working with that, or you can work with small block motors that achieve a 550 horsepower number, but that the way that their power band comes on, the way that they operate is incredible, man.
When it comes to OEMs, is it easier to get a small block or a big block motor, and why?
You know, again, build style, it's I'm looking for higher RPM, I go small block and do something like that. You know, you can do either, you know, 355s, 383s, you can get up in 408s. You know, you can do any sort of combo like that, as long as, you know, you just know what you're building. That's all it is.
The 408, Bob, is one that you're currently dealing with. We're going to talk a little bit about, there's a BEM race team that's going to be out here very shortly. And we're going to be working with that 408 platform. Let's talk a little bit about that.
So on the race truck, man, that's, you know, that's going to be really fun, dude. So that's actually a small block setup, Chevrolet small block setup going to 91 GM Noma, which is the brother of the Chevrolet S10. We will show that off probably next week sometime. We're doing a little bit more upgrading to it right now. You know, it's a short bed, short cab, very 3,000 pounds. So it's not late to pull down the track. You know, and then you super, super stout motor in that thing. This one is a Chevrolet small block. It's bored and stroked out to a 408 cubic inch. That setup hooked to a 3-speed automatic transmission to a super nice solid GM rear Magneta and raw power.
It's going to be pretty stout. That's the one you got going running up the street. It is a really, really strong motor. I'm amazed at how much RPMs that thing can put together so quickly, man.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that kind of setup is the way that 408 is built. I mean, if you step into it, dude, it's a 7,500 RPM rev limiter in there, and that's pretty freaking stout for a Chevrolet small block, you know, to be able to hold those kinds of Rs. Most of the time, Chevrolet small blocks tap out at like 6,000, 6,200, 75. That's a big boy game right there, and that's moving some RPMs, and that's laying down some serious horsepower, dude. But it's this coming out of this kind of truck is, it's hard to plant that power, and it's hard to hold it straight. And definitely in a short wheelbase like that, it could get you hurt real fast.
It could, couldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And what if you do things like twin turbo upgrades on these cars and, you know, stuff like that? Does that help? Does that work? What do you need, Bob?
No, speak into your microphone.
I said, no.
You're looking at me, so you can't hear you.
I was saying, when you're doing things like twin turbo upgrades on these cars, do they help? Does it create more power? Is it better than the old NOS systems themselves?
You know, again, man, it's in that kind of setup. Listen, if right, like right now, this thing pushing over, you know, 650, 700 horsepower. I mean, this is all naturally aspirated. That motor doesn't need that truck doesn't need any more than that. You can't hold it straight right now. You know, twin turboing that application, if possible, which is not on that style motor right now because the compression is so high. You know, if you were to twin turbo that, you'd be in the 12, 13, 14, 1500 horsepower range, and it's you're building a death trap. There's no chance you're going to plant that power and put it down the track safely. You would need to, that's a totally different animal, man. When you're going to go with those kinds of numbers, you're going to move up to that 2000 plus horsepower mark. You're talking full tube chassis. You're talking full tubbing. You've got to get the most meat on the ground as you can. And that requires a lot of work, man. You're putting this thing down on the ground. So it's a lower center of gravity. It's going to launch harder. It's going to launch stronger, stay straighter. A lot of things you have to factor in.
And Bob, when, if you're out there on the track, I mean, how do you get faster? How do you get better than people if you can't plant that power? I mean, what do you do in those situations? We've had conversations before in the past.
That's,
you know, it's how do you get the suspension to handle what the motor's putting out?
That's your only option, man, is to just continually upgrade, man. It's you're going to hit a point where eventually you start building so much horsepower that you can't plant it. And once you get to that point, you become unsafe. And, you know, it's one thing to push that limit to be able to go full throttle in a car and be able to plant that power. That's one way to get down the track. Sometimes you turn a decent time doing that, sometimes not. You look at today's Audis, you know, like you do these stage one, stage two, stage three upgrades to them, and you're literally turning a 10-second quarter mile car in a full luxury, like leather, no roll cage, no nothing going on, nothing special, just a car that you get in, you push a button and you launch that hard. Those kinds of cars can harness that power very well, and they can plant it to the ground right away, and it's safe. You can go across the line at 150 with no problem at all. They do it naturally. When you are working with a 91 GMC Sonoma, those trucks weren't meant to go over 100. I mean, let's be real. Like, the speedometer is 85 in there, right? So you're starting to build something that's getting numbers and speed ratings double what it should have naturally done, sure, from an aerodynamic standpoint, from a safety standpoint, an engineering standpoint. So you're pushing all those factors way further than they should be, almost like working your body too hard. If you can only curl 50 pounds, don't try to curl 75. You're going to hurt something, right?
Interesting.
You know, so you're pushing that limit, you're pushing that bar up, but you know, when you do it, you've just got to make sure that you factor in all those safety pieces so that you can do it and have fun doing it.
Wow, Bob. Very, very interesting. And these are kind of some of the things that you build into all of the projects that you do. You like to make sure that everything is safe. You like to make sure that there's harmony and there's synchronicity and everything is put together as one.
Yeah.
And that requires a lot of research. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of dedication, right? When it comes to the big block, though, how does the power come on a big block versus the power coming on say, a small block?
You know, when you're working with a small block and a big block setup, two totally different animals, it's, man, in the right application, I mean, it's, if you've got the room for a big block, I mean, a big block's going to lay down some really, really, really solid power, real fast, real hard. It's violent power, man. And, you know, to the right setups, you know, if you talk about Chevelles, you know, something that like bigger body cars where you can fit that kind of motor in there and it's easy, it's still easy to work on. You can still maintain it. Man, it's untouchable, dude. That big block power is, if you lay into it and it's built right, 600 horse trying to track that straight on the road is pretty hard to do.
Yeah.
On street tires, you know, that's where you can have a lot of fun. But again, you can cross that threshold where your horsepower gets dangerous, you know, in the wrong car.
Yeah, it can. It really can get dangerous. And a big block, it comes on, the power, the way the power comes on totally different than say a small block car, in that it's a small block is kind of throttle. I mean, big blocks are responsive from a throttle perspective. I don't want to mislead people, but you know, it's just the power is just right there.
Yeah.
You know, so when you're designing and building these things, Bob, what are some of the things you like to take into consideration?
So when I'm building these cars, it's, you know, step one is always the goal. You know, what are we trying to do with the thing here? Because that's going to change a lot. That's going to change, you know, your end goal is going to change everything from the start. It's going to change your budget. Most importantly, it's going to change, you know, your design style, your build style, and how, you know, how long it's going to take, how far it's going to go, you know, all things to consider. It's, you know, you're building with race style stuff. You better have a big budget because you're just going to dump money left and right.
Yeah.
You're building a street car, you're building a budget car, you know, a cruiser. You can do it somewhat financially okay. You can use cheaper quality products. I told one of my clients that the other day, listen, man, if you've got a couple rides you're trying to get worked on, if something is outside of your budget, you don't go for discounts. If you want to back it down to meet your budget, you need to, we'll just pick and choose what you can afford right now, or we can go with a cheaper quality product.
Mm-hmm.
But you go with a cheaper quality product, you're going to get a cheaper quality product.
That's correct. You are.
You know, and it's just that simple. You know, you want to do something, you want the best, you've got to pay to get the best. If you want to cheap it, you're kind of going to get the cheaper side.
The other thing too is people want, you know, all too often they want you to pay for the fact that they bought cars that need a lot of work done to them, Bob. And you can't get out there and do the work for free. You just can't get it done for
free. Yeah, no, it's you know, that's a shame too that happens a lot, because it's you know, a lot of guys, especially in like the older car world, not at all the new car world, man. People are totally different with the new cars. They understand what it takes to buy them. They understand what it takes to maintain them, to run them. You know, with the older cars, people will go out and they buy something sight unseen, they haven't driven it, they're not knowledgeable about it. They buy a car that Navigate is a total turd. Like, it might have decent paint on it, it might have cool wheels on it, and they're like, okay, cool, you know, from 20 feet away, from pictures, it looks great, you know, whatever. How does it run? It wouldn't make it down the street if it, right? Mm-hmm. Things run out of gas. All these freaking cars with bad gas gauges, they can't make it a block the street, they shut off on you. They're overheating everywhere. I mean, all these older cars that just have fresh paint just right, so that people can sell them. And this is true. You know, it's unfortunate those guys who, those owners that have these style cars, and they know who they are. You know, it's everybody that's bought an old car, unless they've spent big money on
it. Yeah.
You know, they've experienced it, because that's just the way the industry is, man. There's a lot of people out there that just put lipstick on a pig is what it's considered, dude.
Sure.
You throw on some paint, you throw on some wheels, and it looks freaking good to the average eye. You know, but you've got cars that people spend 20, 30, 40 grand on, and they look really good from, you know, 20, 30 feet away. They look great in pictures, but ultimately they won't run, and they need another 10 grand worth of work just to making them, you know, run right, be safe, be reliable, what that client is used to, because they're used to getting into maybe a newer Camaro or a newer, you know, top newer Suburban or a new Escalade or something like that. They're used to just getting in a car that they turn on and they just get in and push go.
And go.
You know, when you try to give them that style, you know, then ultimately they're trying to shortcut it with you at every possible level and way, because they've already spent so much money on the car.
Yeah.
From the start, you know, and they're like, well, I don't want to put much more into it. Well, I'm sorry, but I wasn't the one who bought the car.
Yeah.
Exactly. You bought the car. Yeah, you know,
exactly. And many times we try to help people get their cars, you know, at, you know, broker the deal or work with it and do as much as we can.
Yeah.
But even then your hands are kind of limited because you don't always have access to, you know, the salesperson having the complete history of the car or, you know, any number of things that are unknown about the vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, so when it comes to, let's swing back into the big block, small block thing. What is your preference? I mean, do you like, as a builder, what do you like better? What works better for you, Bob?
Personally, I'm a small block guy. I mean, I like, this is such a joke, bro. Nothing works in today's technology. See that?
Not on my phone.
So, you know, it's personally, I'm a small block guy. I love small blocks. I can build some serious, and I can build some nasty freaking engines, but, small blocks, man, I built some stout power out of a small block and really reliable, dude. And that's, you know, to me, that's where it's at. It's kind of universal. You can make them fit pretty much anything. But again, if you can get a big block stuffed into something, kind of lean towards that way as well. So I'm a little both, but I would lean towards small block on probably 80% of my projects.
And Bob, one of the other things, no matter how much horsepower you build on something, does the car have to run aggressively rough or... You know, what is your take on
that? No, man, you can, you know, that's a big part of, you know, cars running rough and not idling right. And man, rocking all over the place and shaking everywhere. That's typically,
doesn't need to be, does it?
Now 90% of the time, man, that's the way that they're built and they're tuned. It's, you know, when you've got a setup in any setup, I mean, you can have 800,000 horsepower motors that just sit and purr, dude. And they can be, you know, slamming around, just chopping the cam around in there and have a nasty sound to them. But they're literally, you can make them sit and do it in a way where it's not, you know, harsh and like the whole body of the vehicle is not shaking. Typically, if it is, it's probably not tuned right.
And one of your celebrity clients was here the other day. He was watching you as you put this 408, you know, to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it was crazy. I thought it was amazing because he said, I never knew that a motor that radical could run that smooth.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's all about just the way you tune it, man. It's, you know, that's key. It's, you know, knowing your end goal, knowing what you're trying to build, what you're trying to achieve. If you match all the products and all the parts, it's going to be something that's not only nasty, it's going to give you what you want, but it's going to be reliable and it's going to be turnkey.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can build a car that's, you know, was something that only went wide open throttle, but now has a, you know,
a full
idle circuit, yeah. Full cruise circuit, you can literally reach in, just bump the key and it just comes right to life. I mean, that's a big night and day difference. And that happens
and that
happens a lot, man. We actually had another vehicle drop off yesterday. Same thing. A lot of money in this build, man. It's a second gen Camaro and there's a lot of money in it. Really, really, really good platform. Doesn't run worth a crap.
Yeah.
Really good setup, dude. There's probably 60, 70 plus thousand into this car in parts, just in parts alone. And, you know, that's a good number. That's a lot of money into a car for parts. That's not even, you know, considering somebody's, you know, time and labor of designing it and building it and painting it and putting it together and, you know, doing everything to it. That's a lot of money right there. So probably over 100 just sitting in it. And, you know, it doesn't run worth a crap. It wouldn't make it around the block if you wanted it to. And you see that so much. But, you know, it's all about now just taking those parts. We don't even have to change anything. Just tune them all in so that they all match and that they all work together hand in hand. And it will be a jaw dropper when it's done. And it'll give the client everything he wants.
Right on, Bob. By the way, Mark Hoffman said, yeah, that's a 3-speed manual behind a 355 CI. I knew you knew that was a 355 in the number 12 car up there. But he's running a 3-speed manual in there. So I assume that's either going to be the TH350 or 400 there, Mark.
No, 3-speed manual. So he's going to be just a straight up manual setup.
Manual. I'm sorry. You did say manual, Mark. I'm sorry. I missed that. Yes. Good morning to Angie. She said, I'm Larry's wife. I know that. I'm just saying good morning. Lewin said he's still out there. He had, in fact, Lewin had to jump off with us, Bob. He said, let's see. What did he say? Oh, yeah, it's a great day, guys. Always enjoy the show. Gate Lives Matter. Yes, they do, Lewin. In fact, they do, man. Can you believe that? Gate Lives Matter, Bob? What does that mean?
What?
Gate Lives Matter.
Are you saying gay?
Gate. G-A-T-E. Gate.
I'm not going to disagree with either.
I don't even want to get into that right now. I think he's very familiar with the fact that I actually drove through the fence in the BEM tour bus, man.
Oh, that's right. Gate lives do matter.
Great. Gate lives do matter. I did. I literally took the tour bus and drove right through the gate and didn't care. Didn't say anything to Bob. Just picked up some of the pieces and put them in the studio before we went live, right? And then when we went live and he was just in the middle of a conversation, I just laid him down in front of him. You believe that?
Happens.
Is that true, Bob?
It's true.
Who's driving next week? You?
No, I'm not driving the tour bus.
What are you taking?
Putting tires on my Porsche. I'm driving it up there at 140 all the way.
Are you really?
I'll be there in 37 minutes. Watch. Time me. Do it.
They have a place for the bus parked at the to park at the event, but
I'm... Yeah, I'm not doing it.
No?
No.
Why not,
man? I don't know, man. No need.
There's, it could be fun.
No.
It's going to be a big event, bub, up there at the Celebrate Exotic Car Festival. Is that correct? Celebrate Exotic Car Festival, right? REO Speedwagon's going to be playing that night. Billy Lane will be there. We'll be there. Robin Alejo will be there. Let's see. Who else is going to be up there, bub? Of course, the Tuttles will be up there, man. Mikey and Senior and Junior. It's just going to be so fun for the family to all be back together and have a good time again, man.
Yeah, no, we'll have a good time, man. It's funny. I was actually talking with Billy yesterday about it, and I was like, yeah, man, so we'll see you soon. And there we go.
There it is.
I was like, yeah, you know, we'll see you soon. I was talking with Billy and Aaron about it, and Aaron was like, well, yeah, we're going to end up, you know, doing something. I think we're getting together on Cinco de Mayo. So that's going to be a lot of fun there. We've got a couple events booked up with them. But I was like, no, we're going to see you a lot sooner than that, girl. Like, we'll see you next weekend, like next Friday, Saturday,
and
Sunday.
Let me guess,
see you.
Much like you and Layla, Billy didn't tell Aaron anything.
No chance. Not right. at all. She's like, yeah, I think we're busy. I was like, yeah, you're definitely busy. All right.
Yeah, you're busy. You'll be
we'll see you in Orlando.
Big unveil in
pretty funny, yeah.
Orlando, right, man?
Yeah.
So that's pretty crazy. Good morning to Jack Blaze up there. Hey, Jack's in Ontario, Canada. Good morning, Jack. How you doing today, man? How's everything going, Jack? And you guys are doing, they're also doing the Code 504 conversion, bub.
Nice.
I wanted to, hey, Jack, can you give us a quick, can you shoot us over a quick update? Or, Jack, how about can you call us at 714-242-5166 or just type us a quick update. I want to know how you're doing with that. I was on the phone with the crew over at Code 504 yesterday. There are a lot of big things that Bub is teaming up with them from a development standpoint, Jack, that they're going to be making available for those vehicles. We also discussed the BEM Code 504 SEMA build. And that was the only thing I think I bothered you with during Billy's lunch with Billy up there, because I needed to ask the question, Bub. And you,
which was, by the way, totally irrelevant.
But Bub, can I ask you a question?
What?
Because there's also talk about joining forces with Senior and OCC.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, Senior and OCC and doing a BEM OCC Code 504 build, right? And that vehicle would be featured out in SEMA. It would be featured at SEMA, correct? So I was thinking, you know, you sent Willie Young, the all-pro defensive end for the Chicago Bears, you sent him a really cool black truck, dude.
Listen, dude, that's Willie style. This is not, we're not even, that's not going to SEMA. I'm not putting my name on something like that going to SEMA. You don't have it pulled up anywhere, do you? Thank God you don't.
No.
Okay.
No. I could pull it up.
No, no chance. Please, dude.
This is
an 86 C1500. No chance does this have anything to do with Code 504, but we're going to throw this out there anyways. 86 C1500, short bed pickup. We have one here we're doing right now for a ball player. Definitely total donk ride, though. So this thing is literally lifted up, although it shouldn't be lifted. It should definitely be lowered on the ground, but it's lifted sitting on a set of 34-inch rims with maybe a half inch of rubber on the tires, and it is all black. I mean, I'm talking wet black, everything. The rims, the freaking brakes, the suspension, the underneath, the outside, the interior, the all black. Looks pretty good.
So, Bub, what if you did?
You just got to have the right music when you're cruising that. That's all I'm saying. And I think I sent along maybe four or five song good YouTube songs with it. So
yes,
we're good.
Yeah. What if you did like a, what if you did like a 47 to 54 Chevy,
uh-huh,
all LS, right? And you did it modeling using that style.
All black?
If it looked like that C truck you sent over.
That's what I'm talking about. What are you talking about?
It for the 47 to 53 time frame.
So all black is what you're saying, or what? I don't. I'm lost here.
Okay. Do you remember how?
I don't want to give the
look away because I don't think I've ever seen it done before. All right. But
what do you got?
Do you remember how that C truck that you sent Willie and I a picture of?
The black one.
The way it sat.
Lifted.
Yes.
Yeah.
What if you did a 47?
There's no chance I will do that.
God dang it.
No way.
Funny, man.
No, no way. If I'm doing one of those for SEMA, it's going to be 47 to 54. It's going to be GM base, start to rear, inside and out, all GM base. Definitely going to stay with a bench seat for some reason. I feel like that's got to fit the theme of that truck. They're just too narrow bodied for two buckets and a console. I feel like it's a definite bench seat, all electronic, all modern, but all like it was 1950. 253, 54, like rolling off GM's assembly line, LS base, fuel injected, all correct colors, the orange, the Chevrolet script, everything exactly marked and tagged like it would be. Probably a nasty set of like a deep dish steely wheel 18-20 combo, just tucking that tire right on top of it. That's probably how I do it.
Is that how you do it?
Yeah.
I didn't
give any paint colors there, by the way.
No, you didn't. Michael K says, Splack Pack music for that black truck, Bubba.
Hey, he knows.
Does he?
Yeah, he knows.
Tell us what Splack Pack music is.
He's just being very respectful with that terminology.
Oh, is he really? Okay.
So the other day, two doors down for me, I'm trying to just, I didn't say three doors down, get it?
Get it?
No, really, two doors down, honestly, like one, two, to mm-hmm. the right. So I'm in the backyard, I'm having my Thea Fresh meal prep, kind of what we're on now for this diet, right? Works really good. So we're on it, we're eating, chilling out back, and I, of course, like this amazing EDM dance party music just starts blasting.
Is
like
that,
I'm feeling
is
it
that
through
Mike
my
K next door?
For sure.
Is
like this
really?
Guy's going for it. And I text him, I was like, bro, I don't like this song. Go to the next one. So within like 12 seconds, personal request to the DJ, I hear it change from two doors down the street.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Pretty funny.
But Mike is, Mike actually is, he is a DJ.
He is, yes.
And he has a good time doing that stuff, man. Palm Beach County music, Mike K says. Yeah. And it's like he has a good time doing that stuff. He's a great dude, funny guy, man.
Yeah.
And he's also a very good cook. He cooks over there at Leftovers, which is a restaurant.
Yeah, man.
Here.
15 years, dude. That's pretty solid.
Has he been there 15
yeah,
years?
Yeah, since it opened.
Really, man?
Yeah.
That's really good.
I mean, everything from catering events to, I mean, his Midnight Mike DJing that he does. It's, I mean, everything from venues to parties to weddings to, he's doing ours, by the way. He just hasn't been told yet. So, you know, a lot of great things going on, and he just hosts a killer time.
Well, there you have it.
Keeps the party going. I mean, that's what you need. You know, whenever you're doing parties like that, you want to keep it going. You want to make sure that everybody's happy and having a good time. You got to have good music. You got to have good atmosphere, good entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. You really
after
do,
12, though. His shirt comes off and it's a party from there.
Oh my God.
Just saying.
Of that.
Yeah. Not a bad looking guy, I might say.
Could that be like Fat Pack?
No,
music?
No chance. No, he's fit.
Is he?
Yeah.
He works at Leftovers, Bubby. He weighs like 400 pounds.
No, no chance.
Yeah.
That's a different Mike.
He's got these big stubby ankles.
No.
No?
No, not at all.
No?
Cylinders for legs.
It's kind of funny when you think about it. He almost looks like, thanks, guys, just like you guys. There he is. Michael, okay. He looks kind of like Jabba the Hutt, doesn't he?
What? No.
Yeah,
where
like,
are you
yeah,
going
he looks like
here?
Jabba the Hutt with DJ headphones on.
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
He's only about 4 foot tall.
He asked me the other day, so his DJ trailer it's beautiful, bro. It's enclosed trailer.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, all just decked out with lighting, with music, with audio, with sub speakers. I mean, all, you know, everything in there you could possibly imagine, cords all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So he asked me, he had this thing custom built, fairly new, maybe a year old, pretty nice setup. And, he asked me, he comes over and he's like, Bub, look at my tires on my trailer. I think something's wrong. So I look at him and they're just worn flat, dude. There's just nothing left in them. He was like, you think I'm hauling too much weight? And he opens the door and I'm telling you, there's a lot of weight in this trailer. Probably close to 6,000 pounds, I'd say, in this thing.
And what, like, just audio equipment?
Yeah. I was like, yo, man. I was like, what do you keep your tire pressure set to? And he was like, I don't know. So he grabs a tire gauge, the sidewall, they're load range D. So it's, you know, they can carry some weight, 30-something, 100 pounds each one. I'm like, bro, you need to keep these things up at like 50, 60 pounds. He puts a gauge on, it's like 18. It's like, dude, these tires are going to be going out every 6 months. Fill those suckers up.
Oh my God. It's funny, Bub, some of the things that we deal with. Mark Hoffman says, Bub Lloyd, to answer your question earlier, I have a 3-speed manual buyer in 355 and it's a 373 gear in the back, Bub.
So that's a solid setup, pretty torquey setup. It's, you know, not very high speed, especially with a 3-speed. You know, if you were to go high speed on it, but it's, that's a really good setup for around that circle track.
Would it be better to go to a 4-speed maybe, or is there, you think there's
no,
a reason?
No, the 3-speed's good on that. That's why I was curious if it was still the 200 4R, which would have been a 4-speed automatic, but not what you would really want on that kind of setup.
Right. Right.
You know, mm-hmm. all about that. It's all about your end goal right there. And that's a perfect example of it. Just a simple conversation going back and forth, your end goal. What are you doing? It's a circle track race car. Totally different than what you'd run on the street, totally different than what you'd run on the quarter mile drag track, completely different setup. You need a specific RPM range that you're going to be operating in, whether it's, you know, 4,200 to 5,300 RPM, you know, wherever you're going to be operating that setup, 5,500, whatever it is, you want to make sure that you have an application from a drivetrain and a powertrain standpoint that matches what you're doing.
And so, Bob, the 3-speed gives the number 12 car that, and it's successful, man. Look at the number of wins he pulls up on,
yeah.
Man. I mean, it's really, really crazy. My case says 6-pack. Yep. 6-pack. All right. But no, not, I mean, I didn't know Jabba the Hutt had a 6-pack, Bub.
It's like two with a straggler on the bottom.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, maybe four.
And the first two kind of hang down over on top of the third one?
For sure.
And he stands on like a little milk crate.
Mm-hmm.
His skin's green.
No.
No?
Not green.
From eating all the food at leftovers?
No.
No?
God, dude, I would kill for some from Jupiter's finest Enderoni. Oh, Jesus. I'll skip the gym for that. I'll stop, dude. I'm telling you. I'll leave the gym for that. In the middle of working out, I'll just get up and walk out.
Are you talking about the sausage?
No, not the sausage. Why is it always about sausage with you?
Because you said end around me.
I did not say end around me.
Right?
Definitely not.
No?
Enderoni.
Enderoni? What is Enderoni, bro?
It's the one that I bring you all the time. It's like an adult mac and cheese with like a shredded chicken.
Yeah.
And with like
who
some,
makes that though?
What do you mean? Who are we talking about here?
Mike?
Just enough with you. Move on. Next conversation.
I'm just wondering where I can go
You're
get
checking
that,
out
man.
On me.
I am. No, I'm just wondering where we can go get that.
I think you've been talking
you
about Food
Jupiter
Shack for the past
yeah,
10 minutes.
No, Food Shack and Leftovers are owned by the same company, aren't they?
This is true.
Right?
Yeah.
I wonder why they named it two different things. Why didn't they just call it Leftovers? Because you always get leftovers. The way Mike cooks for you, though.
Yeah, you do, but not hey, when I go get that Enderoni, there's none. It's bad because it's got to be close to like 4,700 calories.
Oh, my God.
Has to be.
Are you serious?
No chance it's healthy.
No, there's none.
I mean, I feel like my blood pressure boiling when I'm eating it. Like,
really?
I'm clogging up as I eat it. Yeah.
Really?
So good. Oh, yeah.
I can't eat those kinds of carbs, man. I just feel like crap afterwards, Bob.
All right. Jack says he's still on a teardown of the S10 or something. What do you got?
Who's doing a teardown of the S10?
Jack or something.
Hold on 1 second. Oh, he is? Well, is he really? Let me see. That's what I want to know. I want to get an update on from him on what's going on. I don't know if I can see it, though, if my phone's updating, Bob, quickly. Let's see here, Bob. What do you see? Read it to me.
I don't know. It only pops up for a second.
Okay. I am still in teardown of the S10. Okay.
Oh, so, Jack, what are you waiting on, bro? Grab a freaking torch and go to town.
Or, Jack, just call me up there. I'll have it apart in like 20 minutes for you.
You don't want that.
No, Jack, I do a really good job for you.
You don't want that.
It's going to look really good, Jack. And you'll know where all the pieces are, too. Everything will be labeled the way it's supposed to be.
No.
And put in separate bags.
Not at all.
Right?
Mm-mm.
How'd you like my brake work the other day? I did pretty good, Bob. That was just one series of things after the other. And like you said, I was so frustrated, man, because then I had the pedal that was hanging up. And the first thing you said was, Dad, have you checked to see if anything's catching underneath the pedal?
I mean, something's hanging up, dude.
Yeah.
That's it.
And sure enough, guess what it was?
You know, experience teaches you a lot of things in life sometimes.
It's funny, too, because I spend so much time trying to work the administrative side of the house that I don't get to get out there and put my hands on things the way I like to do it. And you probably prefer it that way. But it just shows how far if you don't use a skill set, how far away from you it'll get, Bob.
Yeah.
It can get away from you, can't it?
You never had it.
Oh, I didn't?
No,
I thought I did pretty good.
I don't know, dude.
It was
total funny. Mess, man. I thought Ken was bad. I thought he was a mess in the shop. You had crap everywhere, dude. I've never seen you have 7 quarts of oil on the ground. Man, it looked like the ocean out there.
Did it really?
Oof. I've never seen it. I just walked out and laughed.
It's easy. All you got to do is take the oil, the drain plan, drain plug out of the oil pan.
And walk away.
Yeah.
Yeah. You stick
did.
The drain plug in your pocket. You put the tool in your back left pocket for some reason. You put a rag on your shoulder like you're actually staying clean, which you're not.
I'm not.
No. And you just walk away and like let the oil flow. I'm like, are you kidding me, dude? Even you know it's bad when even Ken shakes his head. And Ken is a mess. Like he does some quality work. He is a mess.
I figured somebody else would come clean up the mess.
Yeah.
It didn't work that way, did it?
Nope.
I was the one who cleaned up the mess.
Yeah.
And then check this out. We did it. We did that project for an elderly lady in our neighborhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I overextended myself again to help.
Anytime you overextend, you're going to get stabbed right in the face.
Yeah.
You notice I don't even use the back anymore. You don't get stabbed in the back in South Florida, bro. You just get stabbed right in the face.
It's not just South Florida, man. I think
no, it's here bad.
It's everywhere.
Bro. There's a bunch of schmucks down here, dude. Let me tell you.
They really are.
Oh.
And those are the schmucks we'll run into in the street.
Well, I do all the time, but nobody will say anything to me, but I'm right there. You know I'm not moving.
But they'll run their mouth. Behind your back or try to take you out other ways, man.
Yeah.
When they really don't know anything at all.
Kenrick saw St. Patty's Day.
Who is it?
Kenrick.
Oh, you saw St. Patty. Bub light up, boy.
No, there was a fight going down, like right in front of me. And Kenrick looks up. He was like, bro, why are you standing right in the middle of it? And I was like, hey,
yeah.
I'm not moving. Somebody hit me, please.
Yeah.
Please.
Bub's
I'm right here.
I'm
staying right here. Like somebody hit me.
Yeah. And the problem is, Bub is I've got a very hot temper. It's very volatile. It flashes very, very quickly. And there's a guy out there pressing my button right now. And it's not gonna be long, Bub. It's not gonna be long.
It's only a matter of time, dude.
That's
people
right.
Hey, let me tell you.
I know
karma.
I know where this person lives. I know
hey,
where they
have karma's
hang
not good.
No, it's not. It's not.
Typically karma handles itself.
Yeah.
But sometimes you end up catching people in the right place at the right time.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mike K says chicken, chilies, and onions. Oh my God.
There it is.
There it is right there. Mike K says, I love Tom. And well, I'm shredded. I know that, Mike. I know that. Jack Blast says, still cold and snow here. S10 outside, 54 taken up garage where there's warm weather. Jack, it's time for you to get down here. Mike K says, yep, only in South Florida, bub.
He knows, dude. And he's been here a long time.
Yeah, he left the Northeast too, man.
Definitely, man. And he's one of those good guys. It's, full on trust. Like you get the right. Moral side, you get the trust side. I mean, it's somebody you could put a loaded gun in their hand and say, here you go, bro.
Yeah.
Like, just turn around and do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
Like, you can just trust him with it. You can trust your family with him. And that's the kind of guy that you want to be around. It's, who was I talking to the other day about that? Hold on, let me think about it. Somebody really, really good. I was talking to Billy Lane about it yesterday. He said the same thing. He said, man, finding good people that do the right thing. Cause he was talking about the girls, and how he's got to raise two daughters now, possibly three.
Three. They're going for a third, I heard.
And he was like, listen, man, he was like, I've got to do that one thing. You know, the biggest thing that changed his life about it was the fact that he's got to not only raise his girls as raising women,
with morals and values,
but also to raise them as a male figure, not from a father standpoint, but also from a male figure of what they should expect out of a man. And he was like, because in today's world, people just are not, they suck.
They do.
It's like guys don't know how to treat women. They don't know how to be respectful. They don't have any morals. They don't know how. And it's like when he and I were talking about that, I just had a direct connect with it because I know exactly what he's referring to. I know, there's just people out there with qualities and skills. They're just not there anymore at all. Not from a respect standpoint, not from a moral standpoint, doing the right thing. People walk by trash every day on the ground. They just walk right past it and stare at it. Mm-hmm. Like, pick it up. You're probably going to walk past the trash can eventually.
Yeah.
I do it all the time in the gym parking lot. I walk past in the gym. I don't want to pick up freaking other people's crap, but I do. I'm looking at it on the ground. Why would I not just pick it up? I'm right there.
But to hear from some douchebags, they take very limited information from sources and try to turn it around and make you look bad.
Well, that's, you're always going to have that, man. Especially when you are somebody.
Especially when you are somebody. But we're going to run into this person in the streets, and there's going to be, we'll see how big their mouth runs in. You know, it's just the way it is. Well, Robin says she's out driving her car that would not run and still is not paid for it. Anyway, so elderly lady, Bob, you know, I always tell everybody to reach out and touch somebody's life in a positive manner. Neighbor just down the street, man, in her late 70s, was pulling in on her sob. She's deaf. That's completely deaf, right?
I'm going to be deaf if you don't speak into that microphone, dude.
She's completely deaf.
Turn that thing to you.
She's completely deaf. I heard the brakes were just metal to metal. And I said, let me run
that. Oh, bad. Yeah, I know. I heard when it pulled up.
Yeah, let me take that thing in and...
Grinding away, dude.
So what do? Diesel is with me Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I'm very dedicated to diesel, okay? I could drive one of my other cars, right, during the week. But Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have to have the four-door because diesel needs to sit. And I'm not going to cheap him from work, right? He loves to be at work. So.
Oh, and he knows too. Like,
he knows. Hey, he does.
Listen, 5 o'clock in the morning when I wake up,
he's right.
Like
there.
That little dude he just shoots up. I mean, he snores like I don't even know.
Yeah.
This guy is out. When he's out sleeping. His tongue's hanging out. He's snoring. Freaking cat is all over him. And it's just like, it's all weird. This whole scenario that's going down. Our guy cat loves him. Like they're little horn dogs together. Really weird because he's like rubbing his butthole on Diesel's nose while Diesel's asleep. It's really, really disgusting
Maybe
to watch.
That's why he's sleeping with his tongue out.
That is why he sleeps with his tongue out. Jack loves it. He like rubs a freaking little teeny weeny cat pecker all over his tongue. I'm telling you, dude. But when I wake up at 5 a.m, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, it's like a fat kid, dude, hungover. He doesn't wake up worth anything. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, shoots up. Like he literally runs to the stairs
crazy,
and just like runs down as fast as he can.
It's crazy too, because at 4 o'clock on Friday afternoons, he knows exactly what time it is. Bob Snow, the snowman, says, preach it, Bubba. Yeah, well, you know the truth. You know the way it is, Snowman.
Snowman knows as well. He's one of the good ones.
Yeah, he is one of the good ones, man. You're going to run into those boys that like to run their mouth out there on the street. We're going to see how quick they step up, and they can keep their mouth running, especially when you know where they hang and they run. Jack says it's a 54 pickup. Yeah, that's correct. It is. But anyways, Bob, I bring the Saab, and Robin says to her, hey, you know what? My husband's saying there's something wrong. Let's listen to that car. Let's take a look at it. I said, so on this was Tuesday. Wednesday, I bring the car in. On Thursday, I've got a bunch of stuff I have to do. I come off the desk. I personally do the work on the car because she'd been taking it to get this. She works part-time as a volunteer with the police department, right? And their motor pool was supposed to be taken care of.
Hopefully, she's not a dispatcher.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Get it? Yeah, she's deaf.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting at.
I know. I got it.
Okay.
Good job, Bob. But they, the problem was they were the motor pool or the city personnel were supposed to be taking care of the car and they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And it was terrible, man. And they were charging her for it. The guy was charging her for it. And I went through and looked at this thing by it, Bob.
Oh, it was a wreck.
I document it with pictures. Like I document everything with pictures. Everything here is documented with pictures. And so, I looked at this thing. It came out to $2,200 worth of work. I cut the bill to $1,200. Just cover your parts. You know, I'm trying to help a neighbor. I drove her car in and I needed to get diesel to work too. So I rearranged everything to get diesel to work as well and diesel home and took her car back to her. Still haven't been paid in full. And this is the kind of stuff.
Well, that's what people do, man. It's a shame. You know, it's very, very, very few people out there anymore that make sure that you're covered, man. They're just all about themselves. They're just selfish people. You know, I watch it all the time. Even the way people drive, dude, it's you know, they'll just down to basics, man. They'll only worry about themselves. Just if they know for 2 miles that they've got to take a right turn, they'll just push their way as far possibly up a certain lane just to get over and cut everybody off at that last second, just so that they can be ahead of everyone to make that turn. And it's just like, man, like, what makes you better than anyone else? What makes you rush? What makes you, you know, be rude and maybe piss somebody else off, and the potential of maybe an accident? Maybe that person you just cut off isn't a smart person. Maybe they're texting and driving. Maybe they have their own flaws and they slam into the back of you all because you wanted to rush. You know
who the worst texters and drivers are? Cops, man.
You're really bad at it.
I am too. But they're terrible,
dude. I can always tell when you're doing it because you're always driving in the grass on the side of the road and I can see like mud flying up the side. I'm like, well, he's texting. You can tell when I'm doing it because my car's always like all those little bumps in the road.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's when I'm doing it. But they make me stop for a second.
They do, don't they?
Just for a second, though.
Yeah.
So I straighten up again.
They're the worst, man.
Then I continue.
Computers and texting, but boy, they'll be the first to stop and give you a ticket, right?
I haven't had one of those ever.
Yeah. Like Robin says, she now the client's out, or that my neighbor's out driving their car, right, and enjoying it, and we're the ones who paid for all the parts on it.
Yep.
Where's the morality in that?
I'm telling you, dude, that's why you can't extend yourself anymore. It's a shame. I mean, there's so many people, even close friends of mine, that I've just had to just X out, dude, that, you know, same thing, taking advantage of. And people take advantage, and they will, trust me, people will take anything that they can get in today's world. And it's a shame. Because even when I have people offer me things for free, I'm still like, nope, not happening. Like, I'm doing something for you, even in return, just a thank you gesture, some sort of way. I'm going to take you out to dinner. I'm going to buy you something. I'm going to get you a gift card, just something in general that just shows the extension of, you know, your appreciation. I feel like that's necessary.
Yeah. And that's what you do, Bob. You just say thank you to people, man.
Yeah.
Just, a simple thank you goes a really, really long way into.
Well, that's it. I mean, most people don't, you won't even get that anymore. You know,
it's funny too, because the neighbor to the left of me has a Honda that belonged to his parents. And he wanted to sell it. The car's of no value to him. It's like a 94 Honda Civic four door, and the car didn't run. And it was, when it was starting to have some problems, they told him it was a fuel pump or it was this or that. And I said, no, 9 times out of 10, when those cars don't run, it's typically a distributor related issue. And I used to watch when Bob first started in his career, as he dealt with this a lot. I told him the Hondas are not notorious for fuel pump related issues.
No,
particular area that, you know,
I will say the you got to admit, bro, when you really think about it, like those mid 90s Hondas, as junk as they were, they ran 200, 300 for it. They weren't hard to work on, but they ran, dude. They just put miles on them. I mean, like you're saying, the ignition always failed on those cars. Clutches always failed on those cars.
Sure,
brakes wore through the brakes, tires
wore
through the tires. But I'll tell you what, man, they just kept freaking turning. I don't know why.
They just did. Hey, Mike K made a good
statement. Really funny.
Maybe your neighbor didn't hear you about the payment. Yeah, they definitely heard me, because you know what I did, Mike? I did the right thing. I took all of the paperwork home, my handwritten notes, right? And I showed her that this is the value of the car. Then the junk box in the first place.
Yeah.
They paid $42,000 for this car, brand new, right?
Which was pretty good car at the time.
Good money at the time, right?
Yeah.
I even broke it out for her. I said, here's your actual invoice. Here's the retail side of it, $2,200. You pay me the $1,200 for the parts, and let's call it quits. That's it. Doesn't matter how I rearranged my day. Doesn't matter how it affected diesel. And diesel's very important.
That's what I'm saying. People don't care about that. It doesn't matter to them. All they're worried about now is, well, she's not, because she couldn't hear the brakes in the first place, is that there's no more grinding anymore.
And she said, I keep hearing this dunk, 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 dunk. Well, I guess you do. The motor mounts are completely shot. Every time
bad.
You step on the gas, the things that the cradle's rocking and smacking metal to metal, right? So you know, it doesn't matter how I rearranged everything. Doesn't matter what I did.
Wait, I got something from Jack. He came up on a 700 R4 or something here. Let me.
Jack up in Canada?
Yeah.
What you saying?
Did he miss the response on the Power Glide or the 700 R4?
I'm trying to understand what he's referring to. Jack, are you referring to something on your truck specifically or with Mark Hoffman's dirt track car? Let us know on that one.
Yeah, please do. Jack up there in Canada.
I don't see anything on a question from Jack.
I don't have that. Otherwise, I've pushed it over to you for the technical response.
Yeah, the only trannies we were talking about were Caitlin. The other thing. What was the
Caitlin?
Other one? What?
We were talking about the. Did I miss a response on the Power Glide?
Yeah,
or
no,
the
I didn't see that.
R4. No, it just came through on my phone right now.
No, Jack. He just responded and said my truck. So no, Jack. We didn't see a question on yours. So what was your question on?
Yeah, what was the question?
700 R4. I didn't see anything on our end.
54 pickup. Would that tie into it, Bob? 54 pickup. That I mean.
Yeah, no, I get that part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, his is a 54.
Yeah.
That he's building off the S10 chassis. Mm-hmm.
Well, of those two, which of the two do you prefer? The 700 R4.
I would go 700 R4 for a street cruiser. Yeah, Power Glide would be great. Especially if you're doing like a drag truck setup, a Power Glide, man, they can be animals, dude.
Yes, they can. They sure can. Yeah, they can.
Same as a 700. I mean, personally, I can build a fun street strip 700 R4. That way, you've got something you can take to the track, lay down over 600 horse out of those things reliably without breaking the cases on them, especially if it's an MD series case. And you know, you can have a lot of fun
with
it.
When you say MD, what does that mean?
It's just a heavy duty version that was used in, you know, pickup trucks, police cars, you know, things like that, that were just heavy demand. Mm. GM did it specifically for that. Mm.
I still can't get a vision out of my head, Bob, of an 04 sitting like that S10. Jack's saying in his truck.
Yeah,
so
in his
truck. It's a 700 R4, right, is the answer?
Yeah, 700 R4.
Yeah, 700 R4. Go with that, Jack, the 700 R4.
For sure.
That's a very reliable transmission, too, Bob.
It's strong, man. It's, you know, out of the gate, those things were good for 350, 400 horsepower. They were comfortable. They wouldn't break, you know, typically above that. They would start having problems with, like, reverse bands. You know, servos would get stuck and hung up. It's, you know, a little too much pressure in those things. That was key too, man, was line pressure with the 700 R4. Make sure you're setting them up properly in terms of the cabling on it and, you know, knowing what you got going. We ran over our time because that's down.
Tell Jack a little bit about that, Bub, real quick, the line pressures and the TV cables on those.
Whoops, there you go. Turn the wrong one. This one, USB. Okay. That lady should have talked. So line pressures on a 700 R4, four-speed automatic. It was GM's overdrive tranny. It was a really strong setup, man. First gear, second gear was super, super good. You know, you match those up to like a, personally, 373, 411 rear gear if you do a limited slip or posit unit in the rear end. Strong, man. Really, really strong. You can build good 10, 11-second, you know, vehicle out of it with, you know, 450, 500 horsepower. It doesn't take a lot to really plant those things down with the right gear combo and setup. And they're really fun, man. It's, you know, 400 horsepower is going to be hard to hold that thing straight first through third gear.
And one real quick question, even though we are a little bit over time, doesn't matter. Jack, are you going to be, and I need to ask this to follow up on the 700 R4, because I know how Bub builds. I know what he's looking for. Are you going to be running an EFI assembly, or is that going to be a carbureted assembly? So real quick, shoot me down, Jack, what that's going to be. Is that going to be an Edelbrock, a Holley, or are you going to go with EFI? First of all, you would suggest that he goes with the EFI, I'm sure, Bub.
Yeah, it's, you know, again, all about budget, man. It's, you know, if it's on budget right now, it can be EFI later on, but you know, key to doing that thing, even if you do an EFI setup and you want to make sure that you're not spending the money twice, you know, go with a four barrel square bore manifold if you're just going to do, you know, a carburetor now for an expense standpoint. But then later on, if you want to do like an easy EFI, you can do a four barrel style setup EFI. It's a throttle body unit that would bolt right on in place of a carb, so all you're doing is changing that upper carb on it, doing a pump on it, and it's a very, very cheap, easy install, a little bit more of an upgrade from an expense standpoint. But not too hard from a labor standpoint. You're not pulling the distributor, changing the intake manifold, all that crap again. But if you do it, either way you go, carb or EFI, make sure if you are running a 700 R4, you buy 110% by the correct brackets for the 700 R4 transmission. Those operate strictly off of TV cable pressure, which is throttle valve pressure. And those are all about the way you have linkages mounted to the intake manifold, to the carburetor throttle linkage itself. So you want to make sure that you set those up by the right linkages for it. Whatever brand carb you're looking at, they will sell a matching linkage kit for it and tell you what cable to run and how to properly adjust them.
Mr. Producer, can you tell me if Jack responded? Why am I phone never works, man.
You said Carb Holly.
Okay. All right. There you go, Bob. All right. Now, let me tell you why I asked the question, Jack. Bob was just touching on the 700R4s. If the TV cable or throttle valve cable is not set properly, you'll smoke the transmission real quick.
You can do it. In the first shift, you can do it.
Okay. So, and this has to do with line pressures. So in accordance with that, Jack, the reason I asked is I know Bob is meticulous about setting these things up. I worked with him for 16 years. I know how he does business.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, that's going to require an adapter. It's going to require a proper throttle, linkage setup, mm-hmm. correct? And how does Jack need to set that up properly so he doesn't smoke that tranny?
Yeah, it's really not hard. It's just all about making sure you're specific and dead on with it. It's, they're all about the way that the cable is adjusted on it. That's what's going to create line pressure and also control, your upshifts, your downshifts, everything about it. You've got to make sure if you're doing a Holly carb, they do have, there's going to be there's going to be two linkages required from Holly before your cable. So one's going to be a bracket that specifically mounts on the driver side rear of the carburetor stud. It's going to mount on that location, that mounting location, and it's going to be specific for a 700R4. Very important that you buy that bracket. It's like a gold anodized bracket there. And then there's also going to be a specific stud, a mounting stud, that's going to go on the driver side lower portion of the throttle linkage for 700R4. Again, specific for 700R4 and for Holly carb. If you just go to Holly's website, they'll show you any carburetor you click on, even if you click on the one that you have, it'll show you, accessories, carburetor accessories. And there'll be those two pieces you'll want to buy that'll say specific 700R4. And then if you either run like a stock black factory GM style cable, that's got like a D style pin adjuster on it, you want to make sure that you adjust that properly, which isn't hard. Or if you run like a low car style cable, you can buy one of those as well for 700R4 and adjust it in accordance to the instructions, but not hard. Make sure you just have those properly installed so that the adjustments are pulling exactly as they should.
All right. And if you have a question on that as well, Jack, when you start getting to that, just call us here at the facility, 561-748-2926. Or don't be afraid to reach out like you always do. We'll be glad to answer. But make sure you do that right, because you don't want to fire that vehicle off and toast that transmission the first time through. And we've seen plenty of them come through, Bub, that situation.
It happens right away. People hook them up. They just think that because they're hooked up, they're going to shift right. And that's completely wrong when it comes to 700R4s. So turbo 350s, which were a cable-operated GM transmission, those were kickdown operated. So the cable not being hooked up or adjusted properly on a GM turbo 350 did absolutely nothing more than not kick you down from, say, third gear down into second down into first into like your passing gear, and you went full throttle. That's all that those things did. The 700R4, totally different. That was something where the adjustment being off an eighth of an inch is going to change everything about those internal line pressures, literally on a point where it could just completely blow the trans if adjusted too tight on the first shift.
And you've seen it, Bub.
A lot, man. It happens a lot, man. And people get really upset because they're like, oh, well, I just built my entire setup and it's all brand new, but guess what? My trans is blown.
Just
like, well, sorry, bro. You should have adjusted it properly the first time. You just blew $3,000 like that.
Wow.
Just like that, because you didn't take it's maybe a 5-second adjustment. It's not hard. Just take the time, read the instructions. And too many people don't.
They don't, do they, Bub?
Read the instructions. It'll happen dead on.
That's it. That's exactly right. Bub, we're going to jump out of this episode of Doing It Bubba Style. Very proud to announce that Kenrick, our producer, has put up the 7-day countdown to the new show starting next
really
Saturday.
Cool picture, by the way. I like that one. Yeah. This morning with the Jeep in the 7 days. Yeah, that was really cool. I like that.
Yeah. That's really cool, that. Man. Well done. Well done.
I'm going to meet with them real quick and you, Bub, before we even jump out of the studio post-production here, lay down a couple goals I've had in my head before we jump out of here. People don't understand how many hours a day you put into work at this business, man.
Yep.
It's a lot, isn't it, Bub?
Yep.
What are you doing this weekend, Bub? Anything special? It is the beautiful
Layla's birthday, so we're going to get it going right after this.
Yeah. How about that, man? It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to do something with her. Layla's a wonderful, wonderful girl. She is the daughter of the amazing Robin.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
How about that? Bub, we're going to jump out of this episode till Monday morning when we come to you live at 11 a.m., correct?
Yep.
Right on, Bub.
Yep.
You're going to have a wonderful weekend.
Yes.
Can't thank our producers enough today for joining us live in studio. I appreciate you guys making sure that we sound and look good out there to the world. So I appreciate everything that everybody puts in here. I'm thankful. I want you guys to know I'm thankful for all you do for us. A lot of things, great things going on out there. I'm talking to the amazing Brian Packett right now from D the legal team over there, the law offices of Brian Package. Great guy, man. He's just a good-looking, handsome dude, isn't he, man?
Yeah.
This episode's been brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. 20,000 online parts, ladies and gentlemen, by the biggest names in the industry. And now we're going to start featuring Code 504. I should have all that information for you this week, Bub, to get their entire product line up for sale. Miss Outlaw Boutique, Mob, The Moose Is Loose down in Abacoa, 561-660-6695. Big unveil next Saturday, Bub, April 14th, up in Orlando area, the Celebration Exotic Car Fest, and the unveiling of the brand new Orange County Chopper, the American Chopper bike that you'll see us and Senior and Junior and Mikey and, you know, all the whole crew up there, man. It's going to be a great time, Bob.
Yeah.
Celebrate Exotic Car Fest. Right on. And finally, to the law offices of Brian Hackett, man. Just a real Brian Packett. He's just a really good guy, man. Brian's a New York guy straight from the streets that's defended all those mobsters and rap stars, and he knows what he's doing, man.
Yep.
He's a good guy, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's handsome, right?
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he is.
I think you said about 10 times.
He's a really good guy, man. Check him out, ladies and gentlemen, for all your legal needs. Brian Packett. Joe Jansen, man. Good people out there, man. Until Monday, ladies and gentlemen, 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, when you can join us again live right here on the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports Network. We wish you a wonderful, wonderful weekend.